It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today. One of the goals of this show is to educate you and help you figure out ways to not part with your hard-earned money. So my guest today is one of my favorite people, David Leach. He's the principal examiner from the Maine Bureau of Consumer Credit Protection. If you're a regular listener, you've heard him before. He's the author of these wonderful books. They're really kind of how to stay financially solvent, basically, and not overspend. And there are a lot of them. David, thank you for driving up today and seeing me.
It's my pleasure, and we didn't hit a snowstorm, so that's even better.
This time of year, and they start, you know, these flurries, and everyone's talking about it, and I start to panic. You have a lot of books.
And 13
of them. And I was thinking this time of year, we're closing in on starting to think about holiday shopping, and wouldn't these be wonderful gifts? They're free. Wonderful gifts for people to give their friends. They're nice stocking stuffers, and there's one that covers just about every scenario someone could want. So give me the list of all of the books that are available and how someone could get one or all. And do you package them up in like with a nice little bow and send them off to people?
Well, it's interesting. In this modern world, we can disseminate that information two ways. We can pack it up in a bow and send it out. There are 13 books. Or if somebody wants to, send me an email and request the links. I mean, my email address is david.leach@maine.gov. So david.m.leach@maine.gov. If you're listening to this on Saturday or Sunday, you want to zip me an email, I'll send you the link with all 13 of them. If you want to just, send me the email and ask for a packet, I can certainly put together 13 and send it out in the mail. I know I can't speak for our wonderful governor and or any of the preceding governors. I started under McKernan, so I've been there for 32 years.
A long time.
So I know the governors always like to save money. And so, virtual is good, but we're happy to mail out any of them.
Yes, because it's hard to put a little photo to copy and paste a link on a piece of paper and roll it up and put it in a stocking. But
that's right.
These are terrific. They're so helpful. So you have your latest one is Five Debt Traps, Five Smart Solutions. So let's talk about these.
This was a labor of love. And I can't take total credit for writing them. Every summer, we have a Margaret Chase Smith summer intern. And from nearby Husson University, we had a fabulous intern named Adam Poulin. And Adam and I wrote this together. We co-authored it. And this was kind of a labor of love for me because this is kind of my five areas that Maine consumers should be very aware of as to not fall into a debt trap. I mean, debt is what keeps some people up at night, be it having too much of a credit card balance, maybe made a mistake buying a vehicle, got talked into a car or truck they really can't afford, student loan debt excessive, the big house maybe then becoming house poor because you really didn't need a three-car garage and a breezeway and a colonial. You could have gone. And then and lastly, those are the five bullets. So the fifth one is like the home equity line of credit, the do's and don'ts of borrowing against the equity if you own a home, the equity you have in your home. If you have a $200,000 house and you owe $50,000 on the mortgage, you have $150,000, what do you do with it if you want a home equity? And we can talk about that. We have a half an hour.
We
can talk about anything.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about seniors who maybe they've paid off their home, they don't have a mortgage, but they do take that line of credit because maybe medical bills have happened.
Exactly.
That kind of thing. What are the pitfalls of that and what alternatives do they have?
Seniors can really go two ways. I think in Maine, we are the oldest state in the union. And as I drive around the state and suspect that this may be a senior citizen's home or I see him out front, they may be running $100 or $200 or $300 in the red every month. But they own the home free and clear, and they want to stay in the home. They're still able to stay in the home, either on their own or with a little bit of help. So they have two options, Carol. One, they can apply for a home equity line of credit where they own that home free and clear or maybe nearly free and clear, and they are approved. If approved, they can write checks and draw down on that. And whether it's what you just mentioned for prescription drugs, or the roof is not looking so hot, or maybe the driveway's broken up, or they need a new furnace and they've been kind of nursing that one for years, like with a car. We were talking off radio before about a car. They can get that done and they can stay in the home and they have to pay that back. The other option, if it's one person or a couple partners, if they're both 62 or older, they can get a reverse mortgage. And a reverse mortgage is the opposite of what we think about with a mortgage. When we have a mortgage, we got to pay the bank. We got to pay the credit union, the mortgage company. When you have a reverse mortgage, they take the equity in your home and you can either get a fixed amount sent to you each month, you can draw down on a line of credit, or you can get a lump sum. You can get a lump sum or a combination thereof. You pay fees for a reverse mortgage. It's not free. And it is like auto leasing. You know, for some people, a reverse mortgage works. For other people, it doesn't. I think if somebody's just barely, you know, they're running a little $100, $200, $300 short, and they've got a lot of equity in their home, and they're not really concerned about the next generation, you know, gifting that or whatever, the equity that they've earned it, they've worked it, it's their home, that works out well. If they're concerned about equity and giving it to their children or whatever, then it's certainly an equity stripper. But I mean, both of those scenarios, they can work, but you have to have the equity to start with.
And you want to be really careful. Talk to a professional about this. Research it.
Interestingly.
Significantly.
That's right. Interestingly, one of the requirements with a reverse mortgage is counseling. You have to have counseling before it's granted to you. If I can just skip back to the HELOC, the home equity line of credit, regardless of the age, if I'm out speaking in public at Chamber of Commerce or senior citizens place, I say, be careful with the home equity line of credit. You know, you maybe don't want to buy the big boat with it, the big SUV, and go to Florida for a vacation. You want to maybe take that money and put on the new roof. And maybe if you need a new driveway, you're enhancing your house. So you're taking equity out of the house to make the improvements. But by making those improvements, you know, with a new roof or a new kitchen or whatever, hopefully you get it back eventually when you sell.
And because it's essentially a second mortgage.
It is. Yeah, for a lot of people it is in the second position.
So what about a personal loan? So I'm going to go through some of the table of contents. So personal loans and credit cards.
Right.
High APRs. I don't really use credit cards, but my spouse was showing me one of the bills and I live in 1956. I was staggered. I said, I cannot believe the amount of, we have to get rid of this right now. The interest was like 32%. I thought, that's back in the day, that's loan shark fees.
In America, the lending is based on, it's called risk-based lending. The riskier the loan, and you mentioned the term APR, that's the annual percentage rate, the annual rate of interest on a consumer loan plus any prepaid finance charges. That's how we comparison shop. So if you're looking at a personal unsecured loan, there's no collateral, or you're looking at a credit card, 99.875% of all credit cards are unsecured. That's a risky loan for the lender. They are going to charge you, if it's a credit card, it depends on the home state. It could be 25.99% APR. A consumer loan in the state of Maine, say with a finance company, can go as high as 30% APR. And so, you've got to tread lightly. And I think it's always best, and my boss, Will Lund, the superintendent of Consumer Credit Protection, he says, if you can pay cash and save up for it, like we thrifty Mainers are, it's in our blood, then do it. That's what I try to do. That's why I try to stockpile cash, have a rainy day fund. And so I try to avoid personal loans. And if I use my credit card, I pay the balance off in full every month and am not charged any interest, or we'd say interest expressed in dollars and cents, is called the finance charge.
And it can increase your bottom line significantly. That balance can just get out of control really fast.
One of our books, another one of my interns is on the cover, Ariana Castingway, who's now out of the program and working at a great job in Boston. She set up a chart in there, and somebody charged $5,000 on their credit card with the APR at 18%, and it took over 10 years to pay it back. Because the danger is making the minimum monthly payment, which is only 4% of the balance. And I think in the scenario, I don't have it in front of me, but you pay back the $5,000, whatever that was that you purchased. It could be just a trip to Florida. Like I'm not beating up on Florida, but you know, I mean, it's getting colder, and the finance charge, the interest paid was close to $3,000. So that $5,000 trip ends up being, you know, $7,800 because you're making the minimum monthly payment is the path to ruin with a credit card. A credit card is not extra money. A credit card is something I use for travel, emergencies, an occasional purchase, and anything online because I have protections if something goes wrong.
That's a really good point. Oh, and there's the music. But that's a really good point because I used my debit card online and then the company was hacked and then I had to get a new card and it was a whole thing.
Yes.
Always use an actual credit card. If you're buying something online, you have protections. When we come back, we will talk more with David Leach and we will list all of those books that you can get. We've only talked about a couple. So stay with us. We'll be right back. More to come. And we're back with David Leach, as promised. Okay. Scurrying and writing during the break. 13 of these books. I remember back when there was only two or three. So you have been quite prolific. Give me the names of all the books that if you're listening, can get for free by calling 1-800-332-8529. 1-800-332-8529. Or you can log on to credit.maine.gov and get a link if you just want to look at them online and see which ones resonate. But I think they're great Christmas presents. Call them up. He'll put a bow on it and ship them right off to you. So
we have so many books now that we can't. We have a publication page and we have to pick and choose in each booklet which ones we list. So we try to make them.
Why can't you list all of them?
Well, it'd be like a little small print.
Tell your IT guy you need them all listed in big letters.
We'll do it. So I'm ready. I'm ready for the list.
13 of them. Let's do it.
The Elder Financial Protection Guide. Then, of course, the one we're talking about today, 5 Debt Traps, 5 Smart Solutions. We have a guide, Finding, Buying, and Keeping Your Main Home, the Mortgage Guide, Auto Financing, Auto Buying and Financing. There's a guide all about debt collection with a scary guy on the cover from the Bureau of Insurance. Oh, he's got the glasses and he's a good guy. That's there's the student loan guide, which we talked about on break. There's a guide, the financial guide for Maine veterans, written by a little bit by me and then by Seth Michael Adams, who's finishing up at Maine Law. He's a young man that's a Maine Army National Guard Afghanistan War veteran.
You know, navigating veterans affairs is not easy. So this would be, if you are a veteran or know someone who is, do you want to get this book?
You want to get that book. We have a book that Margaret Chase Smith intern, a gentleman who's brilliant that works for our office, another principal examiner like me, Stephen Lemieux, and I wrote The Gone Fishing Guide. That's with a P. That's the quintessential anti-scam guide. Speaking of that, I wrote one by myself, with staff help, but my name's in it as the author. The New Homeowners Anti-Scam Guide, because we're running into people that are, you know, they're new homeowners or they're coming down, getting ready to close, and they get an email and say, hey, why are the down payment money here? And it's to Bulgaria or whatever. On the Money is for you have your listeners, the seniors or whatever, that's a good stocking stuffer for the millennials, the children and grandchildren or whatever. Anything from credit to banking to insurance to investments, it's in there and it's free. There's a high rate, high fee book, which is a lot like the 55 book about, you know, payday loans and personal loans and credit cards, you know, trying to stay away from them and self-fund or find, if you are borrowing, get a lower APR. And there's a book just on credit cards, you know, the Down Easter Common Sense Guy, Credit Cards, Paper or Plastic. That was a labor of love. And then one that's been very, very popular with all the data breaches, you know, especially the Equifax data breach in September of 2017 when it was reported.
Yeah.
Down Easter Common Sense Guide, Credit Reports and Credit Scores, and when you want to freeze or unfreeze your credit report, all that information is in there. So that's the big 13.
And any one or all of these are available for free, which
Absolutely.
Is such a great service of your agency because – this is information that you would take forever to try to find online. And also knowing if the information is accurate because you can't believe 90% of what you read online. So you really have to know where to go to get the information. So this is a really great service. And as we're coming up to the holidays again, people may be using their credit cards more, and it's, you know, this impulse buying, and I'm the worst. I'm, even though I'm kind of in the marketing business, if it's on an end cap or it's a BOGO or something, I have to have it. I don't even care what it is. And so it's really challenging when you're out there. Plastic is so easy.
I have a unique worldview on this because you're a marketing expert. Like any good Mainer, I've got a side hustle. At night, I work at the University of Maine at Augusta. I'm a professor. And I teach the banking courses and, you know, personal finance and investments. But one of my favorite courses is marketing. I teach that in the summer and in the fall. And so I'm not quite as expert as you, but yeah, I see it and I talk about it. And Black Friday is coming up. Mm-hmm. But you know what, Carol? January happens and the January credit card bills happen. And I've been told and I've seen that when we're using plastic, not just credit cards, but also debit cards, when we purchase something, we get excited, we're impulsive, we spend more with plastic. And so you've got, you know, I'm not going to be the Grinch that stole Christmas or whatever, but, you know, go at it, have a list, have a plan. And I also say in the 55 book here, the 5 Debt Traps, 5 Smart Solutions, you know, if you're carrying a credit card from a big out-of-state bank or something like that, and you're paying over 20%, you may want to talk to them and see if they'll lower that APR. Mm-hmm. Or you may want to go local to a main financial institution. It could be a main bank, a small community bank, or a credit union. I can say without telling you where my credit card's from, I have a 9.9% APR, but I pay the balance off in full. So when January comes for me, credit card balance will be zero because I don't want that burden of thousands of dollars. So I do have a plan, and like most people, it's a tradition, you know, around the holidays to give gifts. I do that, but I plan it and I also try to self-fund with cash when I go shopping and definitely when I'm at a restaurant. Nothing against waitstaff people, but I do not hand my credit card to a waitstaff person I've never seen before because they could theoretically take a picture of it.
You sound like my brother-in-law. He said that he's so paranoid, kind of a conspiracy mm-hmm. theorist, and he will not give his card to a waiter or waitress because he thinks they've got one of those little scanner things.
Oh, they don't even need that. Yeah.
Just write it down, do it, and because you've got the little code on the back, it's right there.
Yep.
But that's a good point to
use cash at a restaurant.
Use cash.
99% of the people that work at restaurants are honest.
They
it just
are.
Takes one.
It just takes one, and then you are in a world of hurt if they come after you that way and start using your credit card. When we come back, we'll talk more with David Leach, Principal Examiner from the Maine Bureau of Consumer Credit Protection. 1-800-332-8529. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk. So, David, one of the things that I've been seeing happen in newspapers and they've been reporting about seniors who are struggling with student loan debt, and it's not theirs necessarily. It's they're paying for their kids' loans or their grandchildren who are having trouble. So they sign off on these loans and they borrow money. And it's great to have student loans available because if you want to go to college, and because college is expensive, but that is something that it's like a mortgage. They just feel like they last forever. And it's so expensive.
The
interest rates are high.
It's a big topic. It's a very controversial topic. And I think it's become a controversial topic because, and I'm talking about this globally, not Maine, not even New England. I'm talking about the whole United States. Is that to go to college, I went to UMaine twice. I went as an undergraduate from 1977 to 1981. And my mother informed me recently that the whole thing, everything, was $15,500.
Wow.
And as long as I kept my nose clean and got good grades, they took care of it. I bought the books. That was the arrangement, you know. So it's changed. And again, I'm not picking on UMaine, Colby, Wesleyan, Stanford, any of those. College, the cost to go to college has greatly exceeded the inflation rate. And concurrently, the availability of student loans has grown at the same time, which I think it kind of fuels that. So to answer your question directly, yes, there are grandparents that have co-signed for student loans. yes, there are parents. I mean, you know, it could be a parent in their, you know, mid-50s to 60s or whatever, and they've got younger kids. So you can get hooked up in two ways. One, legally, contractually, you can be a co-signer on certain student loans, and you have to pay that back. But if you're approached to co-sign on any loan, not just a student loan, but an auto loan, or grandma, can you be on the credit card with me? The bank or the credit union, they won't give it to me. Give yourself pause, because you are 100% contractually liable. And if you go for a loan for your next car, loan or lease, that debt is going to be counted against you. There are other grandparents and parents that are in not contractually binding scenarios, but they've chosen to help their son or daughter or grandchildren with the student loans. And I think, you know, when we, like your listeners, when we enter our golden years and we're getting less money, we're retired and we're not making, we're not making 100% what we were making the last day that we were on the job, if we have a pension or something like that. Some people are only living on Social Security, and that's just enough to get by. So, you know, I caution any good-hearted listener that may be, let's say, 50 and up, and to really give pause to that, because there are programs out there for the students. They can become a teacher, and if they stay in Maine, there's some help with paying that back. If they're a tradesperson, if they're a nurse or a doctor or whatever.
Loan forgiveness, if you work for a nonprofit in some situations.
Absolutely. And I am not the expert on student loans, but I know just enough, and having co-authored the student loan guide for the state of Maine, I can just say that you are an individual. You are not a bank. You are not a credit union. You are not a student loan financer. You are you. And anytime, and the topic is right now in this last segment, student loans, I would give it great pause. And I probably, in most scenarios, would say, no, what I want you to do is I want you to exhaust all the alternatives first before I sign away. And, you know, when you have another obligation, you know, you have less money for groceries, you have less money for prescription drugs, or we were talking earlier about maybe that you need a new roof and you can't afford it. That's tragic.
And anything can happen. And so even using some of that nest egg to make the payments on a student loan for a grandchild or a child, that money goes really fast.
Very fast.
And the loans are typically, what, 10 years, if I recall?
Yes.
They're typically based on a 10-year 10 loan, years.
Yeah, 10-year repayment.
Unless there's a deferment or something. Mm-hmm. So you really want to help those kids out, but it can get really scary really fast.
And again, I don't want to poo-poo being a good
– Right.
I have a term that for my marketing class, I call it the intergenerational assist. And that's someone that's been very careful. They had a nest egg. They were frugal, not cheap. They were frugal. They invested well, and they've got a big pile of money. And they are able to maybe not get on the loan, but you're better off if you have a little excess and you want to give, you know, Junior or Sonny or Sally or whatever, you want to say, I want to help you next semester, and here's $1,000. I'm making it payable to the school.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a better way to go rather than becoming contractually liable on a loan. So what do you think of that?
I think that's a great idea.
Let's go cash, Carol.
Oh, cash is a beautiful thing. David Leach, thank you so much. You are always, always a delight. Never disappoint. Call him right up and get these books. They're great Christmas presents. 1-800-332-8529, 800-332-8529, credit.maine.gov. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening.